We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
I'm calling attention to a passage in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. It's a marvelous thing for a nation to be blessed of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Now that is still true today, just as it was in those days. The Bible says God is the God of the whole earth. Isaiah 54:5. Now that is still true today, and always will be. And in Psalm 9:20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. You know, sometimes men act as if they think they're God. But this passage says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And that's certainly the way it is today and the way it always will be. Now, God has not just wound the world up like a clock and started it and then just left it alone, forgotten it. He has not withdrawn all help and withdrawn all hindrance from nations. Aren't we asked to pray for kings and for those who are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life, 1 Timothy 2:1-2? Well, certainly then, God must still be ruling over and overruling nations today. Nations are but clay in the heavenly potter's hand. Only so far can they go, but no further, as Daniel said in Daniel 4:35. Now, has God really blessed our great nation? Well, that America has been blessed in thousands of ways cannot be doubted. Blessed with education, enlightenment, liberty, freedom, advancement in medical science, space travel, atomic power, rich in natural resources, in fertile lands and great industries. Incomes in America are far above the average. America is indeed a rich nation. How wonderfully and marvelously blessed she has been. But I raise the question, from whence did all of these good things come? Well, surely they're by God's mercy and heaven's mercy, and not solely by human merit. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow, that is cast by turning. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it is said, it is God who giveth thee the power to get wealth. Without the help of the Almighty, this country could not have reached such heights nor climbed to such zeniths. All that we have, though, comes from God. 1 Corinthians 4:7, we need to remember that. Well, there's no doubt that God has blessed this nation. But I raise another question. Will God always bless this nation? In Deuteronomy 4:7, we read, for what nation is so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon Him for? Now, while this was written about Israel, it could certainly apply to this country. For what nation has been so mightily blessed as has the United States of America? Though Israel had been so abundantly blessed, though, the time came when her blessings were taken away. That fruitful vine later withered and died and was removed to a dry and thirsty wilderness. Ezekiel 19:10-14. But why? She was at one time so greatly lauded, but later she became so greatly lamented. Now why? Well, God said He would give His people to the enemy. Jeremiah 32:28. And He did that. Ezra 5:12 and Psalm 78:62 and Daniel 1:2. He said He would deliver them to the oppressor. 2 Kings 21:9-16. And He did deliver them. Nehemiah 9:24-33. The Bible says He sold them to the enemy. 1 Samuel 12:9. God stirred up the spirit of the king of Assyria against them. 1 Chronicles 5:25-26. He carried them away by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. 1 Chronicles 6:15. Three times the question was asked, wherefore hath the Lord done this? Jeremiah 5:19, Jeremiah 22:8-10. And 1 Kings 9:6-9. But then this leads to our next question. What could turn God's blessings away from this great country? Well, friends, that which turned God's blessings away from Israel could also turn God's blessings away from this country. In Hosea 13:9, it was said that Israel destroyed herself. She had cast off that which was good, Hosea 8:3. She had sown the wind, and they would have to reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8:7. She had plowed wickedness and would have to reap iniquity. Hosea 10:13. During the Babylonian captivity, Ezra said that Israel was being punished less than her iniquities deserved. Ezra 9:13. And I am certain that that's true in regard to our nation, that we have been punished less than we deserve. But it was what Israel had done that caused God's blessings to be taken from her. I mentioned briefly some of the things that the Bible says brought on the Babylonian captivity. Number one, sin. 2 Kings 24:1-3. Number two, it's said to be transgression. 1 Chronicles 9:1. Number three, iniquity. Daniel 9:16. Number four, wickedness. 2 Kings 21:9-16. Forsaking the Lord. 1 Kings 9:6-9. Obeying not his voice. Jeremiah 32:28. Turning their backs and not their faces to him. Jeremiah 32:33. Lack of knowledge, Isaiah 5:13. Now, friends, we would do well to take heed, lest God take his blessings from us as he did from Israel. But what kind of a nation will God continue to bless? Well, of course, we all have a great patriotism if we love this country. And as Christians, we certainly must love the nation in which we live. With patriotism welling up in our hearts, we like to often sing the song, God Bless America, Land That I Love, Stand Beside Her and Guide Her, Through the Night with a Light from Above, From the Mountains to the Prairies, to the Oceans White with Foam, God Bless America, My Home Sweet Home. Now, friends, this is a great prayer song and credits God as the giver of national blessings. But before we sing it, however, it might be well for us to ask ourselves the question, just what kind of nation is God promised to bless? What kind of country could we expect God to bless? Well, surely not just any kind. Remember, it is righteousness that exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34. God has not promised to bless any nation that is not righteous, nor any nation that does not choose him as their Lord. Suppose we become proud and arrogant. Suppose we become lazy and indifferent. Suppose we corrupt the will of God, disavow and disrespect the Bible. Suppose we become critical and cynical. Suppose we become hypocritical and little by little begin to crowd God out. Now I raise a question. Can God keep long on its feet, keep a nation long on its feet and making progress unless that nation keeps long on its knees in submission to God and prayer to him? But now, what is the situation with us today in this country? We have probably been so busy looking out for the good of ourselves that we haven't taken time to get out and take a good look at ourselves. First, I call attention to the fact that sex is being displayed more and more openly and shamefully in this nation. Magazine racks are filled with trash and filth. Movies are dirtier than ever before. We have in America too many playwrights that would degrade us, too many authors that would bring out the worst in us, too many entertainers and entertainment companies that have no regard for morals, but are getting fat off of the souls of the land. And when you think about their facing God in judgment, it's a very serious thing. How do we stand socially? What is our attitude toward others? Doesn't Christianity cause us to practice the golden rule? Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, therefore all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now the world should see that we have a different attitude toward people, that we love people, we want people to be saved. We therefore treat people like we want to be treated. But on the other hand, another question, how do we stand religiously in this country? Well, America is a land of church buildings and Bibles. I suppose that in recent years, perhaps more church buildings have been erected in our country than ever before. And yet at the same time, it is true that there has been a decrease in real interest in matters of Christianity. Now, what has gone wrong? Are we casting off that which is good? Are we becoming so materialistically minded that we are crowding God out? We need to stop long enough to get a good look at ourselves. And I'm afraid that we're letting the gap down. Too many are sacrificing conviction for convenience and giving up principle for popularity. Things we once frowned on are now being winked at. Think of the spirit of lethargy, complacency, indifference, and lack of concern existing among the people of God even today. Have we quit taking our religion seriously? Have worship and service to God become meaningless? Why do we no longer raise our voices of protest against that which is wrong? Have we gone to sleep? Have we salved our consciences into thinking that this is a Christian nation? Well, friends, far from it. I wish it were, but it is not a Christian nation. There are many Christians in the nation, but the nation is really not a Christian nation. Now, it was once said of Israel, they chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Judges 5:8. Could it be that war has just been outside of our gates so frequently lately? Because we've chosen new gods? We seem to have chosen the god of money, the god of secularism, the god of pleasure, the god of popularity, the god of might, and the god of ease and comfort. Friends, we need to make sure that we are not shaken, but that we are awakened to the dangers that crouch at our doorstep. So let's do everything to save our nation, lest we later have a nation that is not worth saving. You know, I read in Romans 1 about the degradation and the depravity of people who forgot God. The Bible says in Romans 1, 18 through 32, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto reprobate men, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. But now listen to this. Who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Now, friends, we do not want that to be said about us. But wherein is our hope? Well, I believe that America is still a great country. It is true that the increase in crime, the crime rate is terrifying. And the increase in juvenile delinquency is most alarming. And it is true that there are other things going on in our country that couldn't but help but frighten anyone who is seriously concerned with the right moral standards. But with all of her faults, I still would not exchange this country for any other country in the world. America is not necessarily doomed, but where lies the hope? Well, we can overcome all of this. Science and engineering are important. But nations cannot live by this kind of bread alone. External things alone make a nation, cannot make a nation last. Nations have fallen, though they had great scientists, untold wealth, armaments of war, and well-trained armies. If a nation should gain a whole world of great megaton and hydrogen bombs and lose its own soul, what does it gain? Someone has so well said, it isn't what a nation has in its hands, but what a nation has in its heart that makes it great. The hope of America today lies not in just being fortified from without, but also by being fortified from within. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the mighty, or to the strong, said Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9:11. Our hope lies not just in our buildings, but also in our Bibles. Not in riches, but in righteousness. Not in the measure of great income, but in the treasure of great incentive to serve God. Not in attainment, but in atonement. Not in who we are, but what we are. Not in church buildings alone, but in character building as well. The hope of this country lies in our being as great morally as we are materially. In our being just as great spiritually as we are great scholastically. In our being just as great faithfully as we are financially. Friends, our hope lies as much and in fact lies far greater in the saints of God than in scientists. It lies far more in character than in our capital. It lies more in having our purposes fulfilled for God than in having our purses filled full with money. The hope of this country lies in the heart of each individual. You as an individual can so live as to be a leaven and influence. You can be as a light shining in a dark place. If God could save an entire nation through one Esther and spare a multitude through the prayers of one Moses, who knows but that you, as a faithful Christian in your prayers and your godliness and your dedication to God, will go a long way in keeping our nation safe with God. So don't hesitate to oppose error. Do not hesitate to write to those in authority against and point out your opposition against immorality. Let people know where you stand, and then stand there. A father once told his little boy about a lost sheep, telling him how the sheep had found a hole in the fence and had crawled through it. He told the little son how the small sheep had enjoyed skipping and playing in the sunshine and being free, and how it had wandered so far away that it could not find its way back. At long last, the shepherd found the little sheep and brought it safely home. After telling the story, the little boy surprised his father by saying, "Daddy, did they nail up the hole?" Many times we discover what's wrong with our country, but not enough are willing to start doing something about it. Let's not fail to nail up the hole in the fence. And as a result of that, we can help to save not only ourselves, but this nation. If you are not a Christian, a good starting place will be for you to begin to study your Bible. And then, having studied your Bible, to believe what you find recorded therein. To believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For without such belief, you cannot please Him. John 8 and verse 24. And then, having sinned and realizing that you've sinned, you need to repent of every sin. Luke 13:3. And then you need to confess that Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8:37. And then, on the other hand, you need to be baptized in order that your sins may be remitted. Paul, of course, wanted to know what to do to be saved. And in Acts 22:16, he was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And so I conclude with this verse. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7 and in verse 14. We in our nation need to read that passage, to believe it and apply it for our benefit and the benefit of all others. It is always a tremendous pleasure to have this opportunity to speak to you and to preach the gospel of Christ. May the Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, is my sincere prayer.